Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who is in the front lines of that war in the United States Senate these days hails from Montana. He is a freshman senator, Senator Steve Daines. He comes to that lofty position from a short stay in the House of Representatives, where he represented the people of Montana. He is also a very accomplished entrepreneur with some 28 years in the private sector, including some time in the cyber business. These days, he is a member of the Appropriations Committee, the Commerce Committee, the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, as well as the Committee on Indian Affairs. He's a first-time guest here, and I'm very pleased to welcome you. Sir, thank you very much for joining us.
Frank, an honor to be here.
Gosh, there's so much to talk about. Let me just start with something I know you've been focusing on. And again, as a member of the Energy Committee, I'm sure this is of particular concern, but it should be of concern to all of us. And that is the fact that the Iranians were for apparently some time in a position to interfere with the operations of a dam in upstate New York. The Obama administration knew this, apparently said nothing about it while they were negotiating with these guys. Give us the backstory here, and what kind of threat, as a man with considerable background in cyber, you think this represents?
Well, Frank, the news that broke just this recent week, that President Obama is going to name Iran as the perpetrator of some 2013 cyber attacks. This is going back now 3 years on a New York dam. It's just another example of this administration's failed policies towards Iran. And what's at stake here is we've seen a series of federal network intrusions and data breaches. We saw that at OPM. In fact, I was in the private sector, as you mentioned, Frank, for 28 years. Never had my personal information breached until I became a federal employee, until I became a congressman.
Welcome to public service, sir.
in the federal database. And my information was compromised. I got a personal letter from OPM that stated the fact that my information was compromised, the Chinese had broken in. That has other implications as it relates to our intelligence, because the Chinese can triangulate the data around who's in this database and figure out who might be overseas serving in different capacities here from an intelligence viewpoint. But they've broken into the IRS, the State Department, even the White House. In fact, hackers have successfully infiltrated the Department of Energy's computer system. We estimate 159 times over the last 5 years. In Ukraine just last December, we witnessed the first full attack on a power grid, and there were 700,000 homes went without power for several hours.
Through cyber means. This was not a physical attack.
Correct. This was a cyber attack. And so the U.S. must take stronger steps to secure our power grid. It's only a matter of time until we are attacked in a way that has consequences that will be severe for our nation. And this is where we need to make sure you bring the private sector innovation, and I'm a big proponent of the private sector, having spent most of my life there. They run faster than the government can in terms of their systems, their process innovation, but we're going to have to figure out a way to take the private sector innovation to help America compete and secure our cyber infrastructure.
Yeah. Let me switch gears, if I may, Senator Steve Daines of Montana, with you. You've recently been part of a delegation that went down and visited Guantanamo Bay. And I'm very interested, on the eve of the president's visit down there, to get your take on both the nature of that installation and its continuing need, our continuing need, I should say, for it, in light of the kinds of threats that we're facing at the moment.
Well, Frank, I was down at Gitmo 2 weeks ago, and I saw plenty of vacant cells and a top-rate detention center that was specifically built to hold terrorists and also to collect valuable information from them. I will say this. I was so impressed with the men and women serving for the U.S. military there who are ensuring that those terrorists, those enemy combatants, never see the light of day. But I'll tell you what, my conclusion, and you've heard we've been very clear on the Republican side here, pushing back on President Obama's desire to close Gitmo. And by the way, that is just pure political legacy, fulfilling a campaign promise is why he's doing that. When we went down there and looked at it, my conclusion was we need to ensure we keep that infrastructure around probably for decades to come, given that this war on terror is not going away in the near term. In fact, we just had reports right after we came back from Gitmo where the U.S. Special Forces, it was an Army Delta Force, captured a high-value ISIS detainee. And so we need a place to put them. Guess what? Gitmo's the perfect place for that to ensure that they never get back on the battlefield. Because as you know, we have numerous situations and cases where these Gitmo detainees have been released and are back on the battlefield killing American soldiers.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, you've actually been among a number of members of the Senate who have introduced a resolution calling for the continued incarceration of detainees, including perhaps this high-value target in Guantanamo Bay. We're, I guess, increasingly on notice, though, that the president in his travels to Cuba may well see fit to try to move forward on this legacy project of his. What do you anticipate, Senator Daines, might be done by the Congress in the meantime to impede the effort to close that facility or relocate detainees here, or most importantly, in a way, prevent the president from relinquishing this facility to the Cubans?
Well, we've laid down some very important legislation over the last couple of years that specifically prohibits the president from doing so. So if he were to do that, he's breaking the law. Now, the law has not stopped him in the past, which should give us all great concern.
Alas, yes.
but it's very clear. He does that. He is breaking the law in terms of the NDAA legislation he has actually signed that says he can't do that. But we have to continue to be very vigilant in this. This would require a change in a treaty. We have basically an in perpetuity lease with the Cubans. We get that for $4,000 a year. It is a great return on investment for the American people.
Yeah,
and it's also a great source of intelligence for narcotics interdiction as well, you know, not to mention what's going on with Gitmo.
Yeah, it's really a critical facility, and the idea that the Cubans might get it back and then turn it over to the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, who knows who all else, really adds to the, not just the ignominy of this idea, but the national security perils of it. Senator Steve Daines, let me turn to one other issue that I know you've been very active on. In fact, I think just yesterday you had a hearing on a piece of legislation on behalf of our veterans, the Veterans Choice Improvement Act. Talk a little bit about what that act is about and why it's necessary.
Well, as I travel around Montana, and I'm the son of a U.S. Marine, we have one of the highest per capita vet populations in the United States, or in Montana. We're very proud of the fact, by the way, we have one-third of the ICBMs in Montana securing this nation. In fact, I love the commander's coin there. It says, scaring the hell out of America's enemies since 1962. That's what a coin you get from Malvern Air Force Base, as we have those ICBMs in the ground there. But I hear, I get an earful from veterans here, their frustrations of not getting the care they need because of what's going on in the VA. The veterans, this Choice Act, it gets right to the core issue, which is oftentimes they're not getting reimbursed, their providers aren't getting reimbursed, and consequently, you've got healthcare providers who are calling veterans trying to get debt collection notices sent to them when it's not the veterans' problem in the first place. So this is a giant bureaucracy that has got a bunch of bureaucrats sitting there in the middle of this thing that, frankly, are more concerned about their bonuses and more concerned about protecting their bureaucratic kingdoms than taking care of veterans. And that's why we've got this legislation here to get the core of that.
Well, you've, again, had experience in the private sector. Talk about the act and specifically what it would do to try to relieve veterans of this these burdens.
Yeah, there's two things I believe we need to do. And getting back to taking lessons learned from the private sector, number one of the forces competition. Give the veterans choice so that if they can't get to the VA in a reasonable amount of time to have an appointment, or they live a long ways away from the VA, give them the choice here of a private sector provider here, let the VA reimburse that. And so it's really getting to the core here of the process is to allow those appointments to be set up and get reimbursements done so that it works. But second, and this is a bill that's also been introduced about accountability in the VA, and that is give the VA secretary the ability to fire these middle managers within the VA here that frankly are a big part of the problem. And this is one of the problems in the that the federal government has, that the private sector has these levers that the government doesn't have, and that is the force of competition, but second, the ability to hire and fire people. And oftentimes we get stopped with these public sector unions that will not allow us to go in here and fire some of these bureaucrats I think need to go.
Yeah, it's a question of accountability on the one hand, and it's a question of streamlining on the other. And unfortunately, I'm afraid what happens, particularly at this stage of of administrations, is a lot of political appointees burrow into those civil bureaucracies, and it just makes matters that much worse. Senator Steve Daines, thank you very much for your time today. I hope we'll get you back on. I'd love to talk about those intercontinental ballistic missiles and the key role your state is playing in scaring the hell out of our enemies. It's necessary for the future, and there are people who want to shut it down, as you know.
Right.
But, so good to talk with you. Let's talk again soon. Thank you, sir. Next up, Congressman Mike Pompeo. We'll talk more about getting up right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.